Hi, I'm Kevin Clark, Chief Correspondent for America Magazine. Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. Today I'm talking with Kevin Hartigan. Kevin is the Regional Director for Catholic Relief Services in the Middle East, Central Asia, and Europe. Kevin, it seems like they gave you all the hottest, most difficult terrain to cover for your job. How's it going?
That's right. Well, it's going well, but yeah, it's been an eventful past few years in the region.
You've got everything from Ukraine to Syria and Iraq. They all fall under your regional obligations, responsibility.
That's right. And Afghanistan, Pakistan, Gaza, pretty much, yeah. But the biggest focus, I would say, of our work in the last few years has been the Syrian refugee crisis and the crisis here in Iraq.
Yeah, and I guess everybody is watching what's going on today, which is December 14th, the impending fall of Aleppo and whatever that's going to mean for the region. I guess you guys at Catholic Relief Services must be looking at this situation with some concern today as well.
Well, we are. Our agency put out a press release, I think, as many Catholic agencies have around the world, supporting Pope Francis's call for an end to the violence, peaceful resolution, and for respect for international law. And we're just, hoping and praying for the end of the war in Syria.
Yeah, and I think there's a difficult evacuation being attempted today of the remaining non-combatants in Aleppo, and that's sort of faltering. And we know that Pope Francis has directly appealed to President Assad and the parties in the region to try and come back to some kind of negotiated end to this horrible situation for the people of Aleppo. Kevin, your focus, now you're in Baghdad today, and your focus has been on now maybe a crisis that is sort of taking us slightly back room to the Aleppo situation, but that is the ongoing crisis in Iraq with its own crisis of refugees and violence. What have you been doing in Iraq the last few days, Kevin?
Well, been here visiting our programs. The programs we're managing together with Caritas Iraq, the Catholic Charities of Iraq. And these are programs for the displaced from Fallujah and Salah ad-Din and Ramadi. These are areas that have been retaken over the summer from ISIS. Fallujah, of course, was the first place in the world that was taken over by the Islamic State, actually back in 2008, years before anyone, was conscious of the organization, and was just retaken by the Iraqi government in June. Is when most of these people were able to get out of Fallujah. We've got about 85,000 displaced from Fallujah in a large camp, not too far from the city, between the city and Baghdad. And we are doing shelter and water and sanitation work and winterization for the displaced from that conflict. And then we're also visiting some programs that we're doing for the displaced from Salah ad-Din, which is another area that's actually still being contested to some extent between ISIS and the government.
Yeah.
So it's there's a great, there's a huge number of displaced in Iraq. Now the attention is on the reconquest of Mosul, which is going on, and
Iraq's,
which we are
Iraq's second largest city with a population of, I believe, almost 2 million people.
Well, that's right. And we've been assisting displaced, primarily minority communities from Mosul since 2014 up in the Kurdistan region of the country. And we are now, preparing, as many organizations are, to assist the displaced coming out of Mosul. The numbers still are not nearly as large as we expected because the battle for the city is looking to be kind of a long, slow one, unfortunately, for everyone. But meanwhile, we're providing a lot of assistance to people coming out of the town of Hawija, which is another very, it's a city of about 100,000 people that is also being retaken from ISIS to the east of Mosul. And those people are coming into Kirkuk, and we're working to assist them as they arrive in camps in Kirkuk.
Can you tell us, Kevin, what are the conditions of the people when they arrive? And what, when you say you're winterizing, can you give us an idea of what the climate is right now in the region, and what are some of the hardships and challenges people are facing?
Well, most of these people are arriving with very few possessions. They're arriving on foot, and they're really fleeing battle, like active battles. The moment when they can kind of escape from ISIS, from the ISIS territories, is one that comes quite suddenly. It appears from their description, and they seem to. They have remarkably few possessions with them, even by the standards of displaced people, say much less actually than the people who came, say, out of Mosul in the summer of 2014, since that was they were kind of fleeing the advance of ISIS. And so they had, many of them had time to pack vehicles and other things. Some of them, the winter is of huge concern. It's in the north and, north of the Nineveh Plain and Kurdistan, it gets very cold. It'll be snowing this winter again, January, February, below freezing at night. Here in Baghdad, it's more temperate, but it's still very cold at night and can also rain more down here in the winter. So it's very unhealthy, particularly for small children. Our winterization assistance here, it consists of a distribution of heaters, of space, kerosene space heaters, and blankets and mattresses for people in these camp situations where they don't have access to markets. Where people have access to markets, we would prefer to give them money to purchase things of their choice, to give them more choice, and also to contribute to the local economy. We're doing that for the displaced from Salah ad-Din, who are in Al-Ghazaliya, and we're going to start working in Abu Ghraib, a neighborhood made famous for its prison years ago, if you remember.
So this is really close to Baghdad, then.
It is. They're close to Baghdad, yeah. And these are areas that are, again, they have a significant displaced populations, most of them living in unfinished buildings. We're also, this is what we were visiting today, we've been sealing the open spaces and the unfinished buildings that these people are occupying. So it's basically consists of putting in temporary quick doors, windows, and closing up openings so that they're protected from water and wind in these buildings. Yeah, because it's just extremely inadequate shelter for most of the people in the neighborhoods here. So that's what we're doing up north. We're also we're distributing heaters to the people now in Kirkuk who have been coming out of Hawija, and we're also giving support cash for heating fuel for longer term displaced from Mosul who are up in Kurdistan.
Do you anticipate as the fighting continues in Mosul, are you preparing for a much larger scale of displaced people coming in?
We are preparing for it. We've got teams of trained volunteers, kind of reserve staff in a number of places north of Mosul, and we've got our procurement already arranged contracts with vendors to purchase relief items, everything already set up for that flow of people. But it's really unclear. Mosul's a very big city, and up to now what's happening is people are moving between neighborhoods in the city, and that may end up being the pattern of displacement we see. So people may just move to safer areas within the city and not leave the city completely. We don't know, but it's a very big city, so it's very possible that that's what they will do because they have more possibility to find shelter within the city than if they venture into the desert around it.
I guess that suggests that the possibility of a similar crisis to Aleppo, where you have a lot of non-combatants left in between the warring groups, the Iraq army and its militias and the ISIS militants that remain.
Well, now you already see that. I mean, we see it appears, or, you know, it's reported that an enormous part of the population is basically unable to flee the areas that are controlled by ISIS, and that seems to be the case, and the ISIS may be moving people within the city to provide them more of that cover. But you also have reports of people in the areas that have been recaptured by the government, reports that people have remained in those neighborhoods and still remain in them because of just their aversion to leaving their homes.
People might be wondering, well, why don't they, now that the government has liberated X village, why don't they just go home? Can you tell people, give our audience a little idea of what the conditions are like in the communities that these people have fled, why it might not be the wisest thing to go back to them?
There's a question of how safe any of these places are, because a lot of them are still near conflict zones. Some of the formerly Christian communities outside Mosul, for example, Karakosh, Bartella, have been retaken by the government, but they're not far from the front lines. So they would not be very safe. There is a lot of fear of unexploded ordnance, booby traps, mines, and then there's just enormous destruction and a lack of utilities and any kind of services in those places. It's been decimated, and there's still basically a lot of them would be still somewhat militarized, semi battle zones. I mean, people are returning to document the conditions of their homes, to get to check in. A lot of them talked to a lot of Christian families who are going back to try to see, but they are finding enormous destruction in their communities. Yeah. So people, I think, will be coming back, but the reconstruction needs are enormous, and a lot of these places do lack water and electricity and basic services.
Are people generally welcoming to you? I know Fallujah was sort of the hotbed of Sunni resistance to the United States invasion of Iraq.
They've been extremely welcoming to us and to Caritas Syria, and we are working actually very closely in the city with what's called the Sunni Endowment, which is the main kind of Sunni authorities. It's the Chaldean Catholic bishops who have basically introduced us to the Sunni leadership, who have then brought us into these camps and been our intermediaries. Yeah. And yesterday we traveled with them and with the Iraqi government officials, and we met and were hosted by the sheikh of the local community nearby, and they were extremely appreciative, extremely warm. And what it reflects really is the respect that people have for the Catholic Church in the country and for the work of Caritas, of the local Catholic charities, and the respect that, it comes from the way in which the Catholic Church has really reached out to help these populations, like those from Fallujah, from Ramadi, who are not getting very much attention or assistance from other organizations. Really, to the credit of the Iraqi Catholic agencies and the Iraqi bishops, they have, they've responded really strongly. And I should say, that it's really notable how well, the Catholic Charities here works with all communities. We also visited a new center for maternal child health services in the city of Baghdad this morning, which is in which the Catholic Charities Caritas Iraq has opened in a Shia community neighborhood of the city, in which most of the beneficiaries are Shia Muslims. And so they, you know, the Caritas has really done a remarkable job of, you know, helping all the communities, and it's I think, you know, contributed to the kind of the respect everybody here seems to have for the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I guess you guys are come to be seen as a trusted third party to some of the tensions, the communal tensions, since you're helping all groups, regardless of religion and or sect within Islamic world.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I should say, I mean, we are simply benefiting from our association with the Iraqi Catholic Church. So Catholic Relief Services, you know, because they're our partners, we're accepted because we're associated with them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know you must be tired, having put in a long day in central Iraq near Baghdad. Thank you for speaking with us today. We've been talking with Kevin Hartigan, who is the Regional Director for Catholic Relief Services in Central, in the Middle East, Central Asia, and Europe. We'll keep you in our prayers. Be careful out there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thanks for the interest.